Fewer HVAC companies are truly family-owned these days, but Care still is. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Today, more and more companies are backed by venture capital firms, where profit goals often drive a sales-first culture. At Care, we operate with family values. That means honest recommendations, fair pricing, and technicians who are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So for honest, fair service, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
The 262 registration period has just begun and there's a lot of activity in the car buying market. I'm joined now by Geraldine Herbert, Sunday Independent Motoring Editor. Geraldine, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's happening in the market?
Well, the first half of the sales have been released, the figures for those, and it looks really good. Now, June sales figures were down. They were down 9.7%. It was interesting. New car sales were down 9.7% and so were EVs. But Pat, nobody buys a car in June. Not with, as you say, the 262 just around the corner. Plus, we know with the scrappage scheme, if you were thinking EV, you probably, if you're in a position to avail of it or even to try and avail of it, you're probably going to wait. But generally, they're up 4.2%.
Which has got to be good news for the motor trade generally. Now, what about the EV revolution? Is it well and truly underway?
Oh, yeah, absolutely well and truly underway. Now, it is hybrids are still take the lion's share, about 25.9% of new car sales. But EVs are coming in at 23.7, so roughly 24. Now, if you add in the plug-in hybrids as well, it's another 14%. So basically a third, more than a third of people are buying cars with a plug.
So poor old diesel.
Oh, diesel is well and truly now on its on life support at this stage, 12.8, so about 13%. Now, people will tell you, though, this is less to do with customer preference and more to do with what's actually on the market. It's getting harder and harder, Pat, to buy a diesel car, so that's making a
big difference.
And
there are people
well.
All around the country who swear by the diesel, you know, particularly since, you know, with new technology, the filters don't have to be changed that often, et cetera, et cetera. They swear by their diesel and they won't give it up.
No, they won't give it up. And there's a core market for it there. That I'd say it won't dip below 10% anyway. You know, I mean, there are at least 10% of high mileage drivers who won't be convinced.
So which manufacturers, which models are really doing well?
Yeah, there's no great change in any of that. I mean, the top brands are Toyota, Volkswagen, Skoda, Hyundai and Kia. It's been the same for a long time. Top models, again, Toyota Yaris Cross, followed by the Hyundai Tucson and the Kia Sportage. Interestingly, the Model 3, the Tesla Model 3 was the best-selling car, the best-selling EV in June. Again, this is more to do with the way Tesla do their deliveries. They tend to do them quarterly, so you get this mass input of Teslas, and hence it was the Model 3. But the Volkswagen ID.4 is still the best seller in that range, in that electric car market.
Is there a regional breakdown? I mean, is Dublin still the king of EV?
It is, but definitely there's growth in practically every county or every month this year. So it's no longer become the urban area thing. We see more and more rural areas now buying EVs.
Now, charging is the issue. Range anxiety, which is becoming less and less as the battery capacity is extending pretty much with every new release. Mm. So range anxiety is no longer really present. So are we seeing, therefore, more people in the commuter belt buying electric?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, range, as you say, isn't an issue. I think, and charging isn't either. I mean, we know if you have home charging, particularly if you're solar panels, like it is so, so cheap to run an EV. I think where we're seeing an issue now with mass adoption is 30% of households do not have driveways. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a driveway, it's very hard to see an economic case for buying an EV at the moment. You can have the environmental reasons, you can have all of those. But if you're purely doing the maths, it is probably the same, if not more expensive, to run an EV on the public charging network if you're doing it 100% than it is to buy a petrol or diesel car. So I think that's going to become more and more of an issue. As I said, we come to this widespread adoption.
Now, the question of the charging network, I mean, there are some charges which are fairly ancient at this point by EV terms. What's happening to those? Are they being upgraded?
Yeah, they are being upgraded. And in fairness to the ESB, they have invested heavily in the infrastructure over the last 2 years. They are in the process of replacing them. But I mean, you do see issues around the place. And it depends. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The charging infrastructure is getting better. You speak to anybody who tries to cross the country, it doesn't take quite the amount of planning it used to. It's still under stress, though, for bank holidays, for busy periods, for the summer holidays when we have tourists in the country. And there are places where those legacy chargers, they're the only ones. And if that's the case and they go down, that is causing issues.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've come across the odd petrol station without any fuel over the years. You know, they didn't get their delivery. But there's going to be another one on the next corner. That's not the case with charging.
No, and I mean, my experience is in Naas, which is, I wouldn't even hazard a guess of the population at this stage. It's huge. There is one 50 kilowatt hour battery, or 50 kilowatt charger, like a fast charger. These are chargers that go from 20 to 80% in 30 minutes. So these are the ones you really need. And there is one, and it is constantly going down. And I actually rang the ESB at one stage when I was relying on it. And I said, like, is there one hiding somewhere in the town that I'm not aware of? And they told me, no, this is the only one in the town.
Now, we have had a scrappage scheme for EVs with taxi drivers for quite a while, and many of them have jumped at the electric revolution because the scrappage scheme was so generous. We now have a pilot scheme for ordinary people.
Yeah, so this was rolled out during the week. Now, Pat, this was designed to be oversubscribed. You can't give 5,000 per car to 2,000 people and expect it not to be a huge success. So then the box was ticked. It was like rural Ireland. It was EVs. Great. We did an amazing job. But the problem with scrappage schemes is they're a very expensive way to fund purchases that were likely to be made in the first place. And there's been decades of research on this because, I mean, there's been so many of them across Europe. So essentially, they changed the timing of a decision rather than the actual decision. So these are people who probably were going to change these cars anyway. A lot of the cars were 16 years and older, so they were due for replacement anyway very soon. They were at the end of their life. So, I mean, I would think that 10 million could have been spent better. I think if you look at the driveways issue, it's a planning issue for a lot of the times, but it's also a more costly thing to do if you do put in curbside charging. So we need grants for that. I think we need to build confidence in the second-hand market. It could have been used to do something like that. And also we need the high visibility, the high mileage users. Driving schools would have been absolutely ideal for a grant. They're educating the next generation. They would normalise EVs. As I said, they're visible. They're on the road maybe 10, 12 hours a day. I actually think it was dead money.
And they're
money.
Not going very far by and large. So, you know, one charge overnight would be fine.
Yeah, so I think it was a waste of taxpayers' money. It could have been used far more efficiently.
Now, generally speaking, looking at the global situation, Volkswagen, major job losses. What's happening there?
Yeah, I mean, if this goes ahead, Pat, this is probably, I would have thought, the biggest restructure of any organisation in Europe, any commercial organisation in Europe. There's a lot of things happening with Volkswagen at the moment. It's against the backdrop of Germany, right? So they have very high sustained energy prices. They've had them since 2021, and they're basically permanent prices at this stage. So that is causing huge problems for the German economy. But they're also facing huge issues in terms of the cost of transitioning to EVs. The profits are not there at the moment. They're losing market share in China. China was a huge market for Volkswagen. Mm-hmm. The Chinese are now buying their own product, their own brands. It's no longer seen as prestigious to buy European. And, you know, they're losing market share in Europe to the Chinese.
And the Chinese will be building in Europe.
And the Chinese will be building in Europe, which means they'll bypass the tariffs. And the Chinese, remember, are bringing in plug-in hybrids as well, which aren't subject to the tariffs. And that was one of the unintended consequences of the tariffs. So, you know, I think this is a symptom of European competitiveness against China and the struggling legacy car industry. So it does not bode well for the future. Renault are looking at, I think it's losing 8,000 to 10,000 engineers next year in France. So, I mean, this is only the beginning.
What are you driving at the moment?
I'm driving the Tesla Model Y.
Okay.
Yes.
Which has been around a while. Is it facelifted?
It's been facelifted. The prices have been reduced. So every time I get into it, I think, do you know why? I can see why this sells well. I prefer the Model 3 myself. There's also other competitors. We talked about the G6, the Xpeng G6, which is a novelty just for its fast charging. But it's a very competitive market at the moment, but it has a lot going for itself. I mean, it was the best-selling car in the world, remember. It was a 2023, the Model Y, like outselling petrol and diesel when you think about it. It was some achievement.
So people have forgotten Doge.
That's it completely.
Geraldine Herbert, Sunday Independent Motoring Editor, thank you very much for joining us.
And thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.